This is K8DYS. Portable.
KFADNF, good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Bentley. How are we doing this fine day?
Got a little sleep hangover, man. I didn't sleep very good the night before, and last night, man, I crashed hard, so... Just kind of easing into the morning with my first cup of coffee, and here you are already out in the cold commuting into to the salt mines.
Well, we got to get there and get the kingdom opened up for business today.
I love your names for the place. Those are pretty inventive.
Well, sorry to hear that you hadn't slept well last night or so, so I hope that rectifies itself.
Self-inflicted the night before. Last night I slept great, so I usually do sleep great. It's usually not a problem.
I wonder if this counts as our health talk for the day.
My back.
Yeah, that was funny. Your story made me laugh last night quite a few times throughout the night as I was thinking about it.
Yep, couldn't make it up, man. That was a little bit too funny. I always forget though, that a lot of people do enjoy those nets, and I don't ever seem to be on when there's a net going on that repeater, so it just doesn't sync up to my brain that, oh yeah, there could be some scheduled event here, but that is what it's for, so gotta respect that.
Was that on this network that net was on, or was that the IRA?
Nope, it was on this one, and I think Josh had been listening to one on the IRA and had come back over to this one. But, there's a net on Monday nights, and I guess there might be one on Wednesday nights, too, so.
I used to have a schedule of all the nets that were on the local repeaters that we can get into, but that was before... That was in the before times of the ice storm, like the WHGQN used to have three or four different nets that they did, but now that's gone, so you don't hear that anymore, so how accurate it is.
Yeah, I'm surprised that their tower is still down. That one meeting that I attended in September made it pretty apparent that the problem wasn't huge. It was basically just replacing the feed line. And obviously you need someone to climb the tower, and maybe that's what they're waiting on is, scheduling somebody to do that. As far as cost and complication, I think that might be one of the cheaper things problems that you would have to solve. But I don't know, maybe I'm off, I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't know how readily available, tower climbers, I don't know what their exact term is, how readily available they are, whether, you have to schedule them, months in advance, or you can call them and within a couple days you can have somebody there or whatnot. I don't know. Dell always seemed to sound like he always had a guy that was pretty readily available, but I don't know if that was just a one-off situation or not.
The impression I get with Dell is that he's kind of a presence in the area, and he's got so many different facilities and locations. He probably throws a lot of work to people, which means that they probably make it a priority for him. That's just my guess. Plus, he's a really nice guy.
Yeah, I can see that being the case for sure. But, you know, it's interesting talking about that WAGQN. Because, like, when I get into work, I can hit that repeater, and I can open it. But I can't at the talk. So I don't know whether they have, you know, some makeshift thing up to where it's just, you know, super small footprint now or what. But there's times where I can definitely get into that repeater, but it just doesn't seem to have a very large spread.
Oh, that's interesting. I took it off of all of my lists because I didn't expect that it would be back up and running, just like, you know, the Petoskey GMRS repeater we used to use. But, yeah, maybe I'll dial it up and give it a try myself and see if I can get into it from here.
Well, I know the, well, I shouldn't say I know, but the Petoskey GMRS repeater, I think that tower just came down, if I'm not mistaken. And I think it might have been Drake was saying that they're just not going to put it back up. So that's, and there was a 2 meter repeater on that also. It was a friend of Dell's that had one on there that isn't going to, you know, if that tower's not up, it's probably not coming back either.
Yeah, I imagine that's quite an endeavor to get a tower up in the air. Probably a lot of red tape, paperwork, and then obviously specialized people you have to mobilize to get that done. But, yeah, kind of a shame. Hope we don't have an event like that again that, you know, causes such chaos.
Yeah, for sure. But it did prove out, you know, what infrastructure was robust, though. So that's, you know, like this system right here. You know, if I'm not mistaken, this stayed up and running through, if not all, the majority of that fiasco.
Yeah, I guess I don't know because I didn't even know about this system and even try it. I do know that you and I used the W8GQN a number of times, but that one petered out too, and I think that was a function of their backup generator running out of fuel.
Yeah, that kind of seemed to be the common thread with a lot of them. You know, a lot of places have a backup generator, but just the time of the year and the remoteness of a lot of the towers didn't allow for refueling of them. So it's kind of amazing that a number of them stayed up and running as long as they did, really.
Well, and depending on the fuel source, too, I mean, even if the sites were accessible, you know, if power is out in the greater area and fuel's not flowing, if you've got a diesel generator, are you going to be able to find someone that's going to deliver diesel fuel, or is the priority going to be, no, we're keeping our diesel fuel in the tanks at the one station that we have open so that, you know, it can be used for over-the-road stuff? I don't know what takes priority in those situations. And then propane, if you had a, you know, backup generator running on propane, I would think that might have gotten a better chance of having a tank refill, but I might be off on that. Who knows?
Well, that's a good thought. I hadn't really even, you know, thought about that so much as, you know, I guess I had envisioned and just somebody running back there with a couple cans of gas or fuel and putting in, but it makes more sense to think that they would just have a bigger tank and, you know, have Blarney Castle or whoever just go back there with a truck and fill it. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Good point.
Yeah, and then being a natural gas guy, none of those sites are anywhere near any natural gas infrastructure, which would be the preferred way to do it, because under most conditions, natural gas is going to continue to flow, and you're not going to be reliant on filling up an on-site tank or anything like that. But, you know, I can tell you we don't have any infrastructure anywhere near any of those sites, so that's just a non-option.
You'd probably have to have a fairly good-sized solar array to have that have much of an impact at all, really, I would guess.
Yeah, that's one of the things I hope to learn as we work with these guys this summer and, you know, maybe get access to some of the sites and figure things out. It's like, how much power does one of these things require? I mean, is it 500 kilowatts, you know, 25 kilowatts, I have no clue what that equipment requires. And if it could be done with solar, wow, that would be awesome.
KC8VSU.
About to chime in on this. Go ahead, Toby, educate us on this.
Okay, I've been listening here, and you guys are talking about putting up new things and all this. There's a lot more to it that you don't understand. A lot of these groups, some of them have to pay a fee to be on the tower, is number one. Some of them have to have insurance. And also, to update repeaters, it takes a lot more money than you are anticipating. You have to have bigger coax, bigger antennas. That one over in Hackleburg, I don't know if they're going to see for a fee on that one. But I know, like, when Traverse City 86 did their repeater upgrades, the where it's at is at TV 7 and 4 tower. And it cost them over $10,000, I think, because they had to do two feed lines, do two new antennas for one for 440 and one for 2 meter, and the guy to climb it had to be insured. Yeah, it's not as simple as you think. That's why it takes a while. You know, it's just, you know, certain things have to happen to fall in line. It took us, what, 3 years before we could even get this all done. So it's as simple as you think, because some places are, now they're the only towers, they're going to start charging big bucks for some people to come on there. So there's a little bit more to it, KCAVSU.
Copy that. Yeah, I knew there was more to it than what I was simplistically thinking. Again, you know, no idea what the magnitude of this stuff, and that's an interesting point. With fewer towers, supply and demand, that space is going to become more valuable. KF8ENF, over to you, Chris. I think you're probably getting close to your end of your commute this morning. Go ahead.
KDT. Yeah, I agree with Billy there. Yeah, I wasn't trying to imply that I thought it was simplistic or cheap. I knew to the contrary of that 100%. But yeah, we were just kind of spitballing there, and I hadn't thought about the supply and demand aspect either. That was a good point. Yep, you're right, Billy. I'm here at the old Kringdom, so I'm going to have to jump out for now and start working in the mines. But you gentlemen have a great day. It was good catching up with you first thing in the morning. And we will talk to you down the wire. 73, KAGAT.
Okay, yeah. And like I say, is, you know, I know a lot of antenna towers that went down are being put back up. It's just too costly now to put up another tower. It's like, right now the 728 might be moving towards Boyne City, I think. I don't know. It's sitting in a friend's garage in East Jordan right now. But you're going to see a lot more things happening. I mean, there's a lot to it. I know there's been, like, some groups have had great towers, and then all of a sudden some of the club members, nope, we don't want it there now. You know, it just varies, you know, trying to get a tall tower. Yeah, I know one group that won't go back on their original tower because they're afraid of lightning damage. So there's a lot more to it. You guys have a lot to learn about it. I know Chuck, Drake, Adam, they all know what they're doing. So, you know, you're just going to sit back and really listen. It's just, there's so much to it.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious. Hopefully, some of these challenges can be overcome. I mean, that ice storm was just devastating up here, and boy, who would have thought, you know?
Right. I mean, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be, a lot of it's going to be, nope, we're not putting it back up. And I think a lot of it is because of the cost of a new tower and getting the okay for the if you're near an airport, you have to have FCC okay in it. I mean, there's a lot to it, you know. And some people are just like, we're done, you know. They just don't want to pay the fees and climb and all that. I know that, I mean, if we had to put our tower up here in Traverse, it's going to cost a lot of money. I expect over, in my opinion, if you're going, let's say, 500 feet, 300 to 500 feet, I'm going to say it's well over. Probably I would put it close to, in my opinion, towards $500,000.
So how do these things get funded outside of the goodness of people's hearts? Are there, like, federal grant dollars available that you can apply for to, you know, enhance local communications and support emergency services and things like that? Is that how some of this stuff gets done?
If it's a repeater club, they have to raise the money. I mean, you can try, but I don't think right now with what I'm hearing, you know, a lot of it is you can try for federal, but I doubt you'll get it. There's so much paperwork to the thing. You have to have so many things to meet in line. It's like us trying to apply for a federal grant. We looked at it once for something, but they had too many requirements for you, you know. It's not as simple as, hey, sign this, do this. Some of these emergency managers can, but, you know, it varies. I've never been on that aspect of it, but I know Adam and Chuck and Drake all know that. They've been doing this for years. I've known Chuck for years. But, you know, there's a lot of complication to trying to do something federal. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I'm from the government. I'm here to help you. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't think there's much out there. A lot of stuff I'm seeing, we don't get much here in Michigan. I see it all going out west, or no, up east. I see little volunteer companies getting it. I mean, some get it. It's like our department, we're lucky we have the tribal grant to help us, but we don't get much out of that anymore because they got divvy it out per county of how many people are asking for something. So it varies, you know. It's just hard because the federal government has so many rules.
Well, thanks for the info, Toby. I appreciate it. We're just, like I said, just getting our feet wet in this stuff and trying to figure things out on our own. And looking forward to learning more from some of the folks like you guys that have been at this for a while, and where we can help, we're happy to do it.
Oh, yeah, you guys are going to probably go through some, if you're going to get into Aries Racing or the ARPSC side of it, you're going to have a lot of requirements there, too. You know, you're going to have to probably take some federal, IS 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. You're going to take some IS courses and all that. I don't know what the requirements are. I've been out of it so long. I'm more Sky One than anything, but no. I mean, you guys are going to understand a lot of things. Like I say, is, you know, I've been in ham over 20 years. I've been in it 20 years, and I have seen some big changes. We went from analog repeat to now digital, you know. And some people are still having a hard time. I'm an old timer. I like the old analog setups over DMR. I mean, DMR, that really confused me when I was trying to program a radio. I'm like, wait a minute, what am I missing here? Because it ain't working.
Yeah, I feel your pain. I've been dabbling with DMR on my end as well. And I've gotten some good help from Drake and Adam, and it's made it a lot easier. Just another arrow in the quiver, you know. It's something else to try and another capability that you have. So, well, hey, man, I'm going to drop and just kind of listen in here and get into my morning here for work. So good talking to you. Have a great day, and I'm sure we'll talk to you another time. KF8 ENF.
Okay, no problem, but if one of those guys, if I said something wrong, they would chimed in on me. I don't mind that because, you know, I kind of think outside the box, too. You know, I looked at some one day, and I'm thinking, but then after hearing the things, okay, reels me back in a little more, so, yeah. Okay, talk to you later. KCVSU.
KF8FTE monitoring.
KF8ENF, good morning, Josh.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Good, thanks. Waiting for the sun to come up so I can deploy my snow shovel on my driveway.
Yes, indeed. One of the most useful tools this year. I have my little John Deere Gator with plow on the front of it at the shop. Otherwise, I would be in trouble because the parking lot's too small for a truck to maneuver around like I can with that thing. And I'll tell you what, as far as good purchases, it's one of the best ones I've ever made.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, my driveway is not too big, and, you know, if I get a lot of snow, I use my snowblower, but sometimes I like to just go out there and, you know, get a little bit of a mini workout shoveling snow. But I've got a couple of banks. I'm 6'1", and I've got one that's just about almost over my head at this point, so I'm running out of places to put it, even with a manual shovel.
Well, from the sounds of it, we're going to probably see a lot of this melt in the next few days, hopefully.
Yeah, like 43 degrees today, but then, you know, Sunday, high of 16. So it's going to bounce back and forth for a couple of days, I think, before it maybe gets serious about warming up.
Yeah, I'm just, I'm holding my hope out for, like, you know, mid-April when it starts to get nice. That way, if it happens sooner, my, you know, my expectations aren't dashed.
Well, I've gotten hopeful before April too many times to know better, so I'm shooting for May 1st.
Yeah, I can see that, especially this year. I mean, I don't mind winters. When I moved up here in 2001, I moved up because we didn't have winter downstate anymore, and I was, you know, I liked snow through Christmas time and everything, but yeah, this might be a bit much, a little bit more than I bargained for.
Yeah, you have to like winter to live up here, that's for sure. My wife was a banker, and back in the day it was NBD Bank, and they were headquartered down in Detroit. And a lot of people, like, moved up here for a promotion with the intention of sticking around for a while and then, you know, taking their promotion back downstate and doing some bigger things with it. And some of them didn't last very long, and usually it was the spouse that couldn't handle the winters. And there were a couple cases that within 6 months or a year they were gone.
Yeah, that would surprise me, especially with a year like this. And this really hasn't been, I don't want to say an abnormal winter, because it hasn't. I mean, we're used to longer, more snow and colder winters. We've just been spoiled for so long with warm weather.
Well, I don't know what our total is this year. I think it was like something like over 120, but when I moved up here in 96, I remember 180-inch years. So I think we're getting a little bit closer to what we used to get.
Well, and if we're being honest, it could be worse. You go up to the Keweenaw where they got that giant thermometer measuring stick. I mean, they get it bad. So even in the end of this, it's not that bad.
Yeah, suck it up, and, you know, if you don't like it, move somewhere else. So, well, hey, how are you enjoying your new capabilities with your new radio? Everything working out good for you?
I'm absolutely loving it, and I plan on spending a lot of time out in the garage. I'm going to get up early tomorrow, a cup of coffee, sit out there, and scan, monitor, you know, do it all. The only thing I want to do is, I know you guys get me really clear when I'm mobile, like right now, but man, my receive is, it's just not as good. Like the GMRS was even more clear. So I feel like this antenna, it transmits well, I'm not receiving well. So I may have to play around with location of the antenna on the truck and possibly a taller antenna or something to improve that a little. But yeah, it hasn't been too bad. Like on this one, when I'm coming across Thumb Lake, if I switch to the Sheboygan when you're transmitting, I can hear you better. And then when I'll switch back to the Petoskey and transmit. So it's kind of weird. I think it's all antenna at this point, but yeah, it's working. So just fine-tune stuff and get it dialed in.
Yeah, there you go, man. Chase down those things and figure it out. Are you in between Boyne Falls and Gaylord right now, or are you already in Gaylord? I'm curious.
Nope, I just hit Thumb Lake, or 27, headed south towards the freeway.
Well, you're getting in great, and, you know, from this end, totally readable. Just a little bit scratchy in the background, but, yeah, sounds like you got it set up good for us.
Yeah, its functionality is far better than the GMRS was. And then when I'm at home, I mean, with that antenna, I'm going to take that antenna up higher. I actually had the Grayling repeater open my radio with a little static a couple times. Probably just made it through the cracks because that's a stretch. Same thing with, I think I'm hitting the Mayo, Leelanau, all those repeaters. On this network, and I want to say the Sault Ste. Marie opened my radio one time. I can't remember. I've had so many of them coming up, and, you know, when it's scanning, it'll pop open for just a second. But, yeah, once I get that antenna up, I think that's going to be a huge improvement.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's great. I'm really glad that you got licensed and you're over here. It's been fun for me, too, and I know Chris he's had his technician's license for a long time, just been waiting for somebody to show up and talk to him.
Yes, I know he's been very patient with me, because it was a long process with everything that was going on and me just not having the time. And life was got a little bit off the rails and a little bit stressful, but, you know, once I sat down, focused on it, I mean, it was, like you said, you did it in like a week. I mean, it was really easy. So I know what he's talking about in general. I'm going to start probably playing around a little bit with some of the other allotted frequencies for the technician, and I think I'm going to get into some 10 meter, start playing around with some of that stuff, learning a little bit more, and then get comfortable with everything I've got. And I do want to take the general. It'll probably be a while, but I would like to bump up the level.
KF8ENF. Yeah, go ahead, Adam.
Morning, guys. Just trucking along here, reading the mail. Yeah, get into 10 meters, for sure. When I first got licensed as a tech, that was at the bottom of the solar cycle, and 10 meters was dead. Couldn't do nothing with it. You guys are in the heyday right now. We're at the peak of the solar cycle, and 10 meters is absolutely ripping right now. So definitely get into it.
All right, that's on our list. We are interested in, you know, getting some better simplex comms going as lessons learned from the ice storm. So just looking for other options. NADMX, Adam, this is my friend Josh, KF8FTE, I think it is. Josh just got his technician's license, and he's really digging the 2-meter repeaters in the area in this link system.
Very cool. Well, nice to meet you, Josh. Congratulations on getting licensed. And it sounds like you've got the bug. I can already tell. Get strapped in, because it only gets worse. getting antennas higher, trying other repeaters, yeah, you got the bug. So welcome.
Happy birthday, Adam.
Well, thanks, Jeff. Another year closer to the grave.
There you go. I can't believe you're working today, but I work on my birthday, so it's just another day, right? KBNSWR.
Working and on call. How would I draw that short straw? Go ahead, Josh, N8APX.
KF8SEE. Yeah, I had the bug. Chris got me into TMRS. Pretty much everything I could do with that. Capped out, got bored, and like I say, I was getting ready to do the damn thing, and it's a deep rabbit hole. I don't have a special fund set up for radio and equipment, but as long as my wife doesn't find out how much I'm spending, I think I'll be okay. If not, I have $1 million life insurance policy, and if I disappear, you guys will know why, because she found out about my radio stash.
The scariest part is after you do die, she sells all your radios for what you told her you paid for them.
Yeah, I think I might have to draw up a will or something so that, you know, all that can be delegated and divided up amongst the people I know understand what to do with it and what its value is, because, yes, she does not understand that.
I've got a safe full of guns that fits into that exact same category.
Yeah, those two usually go hand in hand. In fact, I think there's a Facebook group out there called Guns and Ham Radio. Both fit the same criteria. No, I got this. I got this. I did a job and I got this for free. It was on sale and it was only $100, so I had to get it. Yeah, that's how that goes.
Well, I know I have a garage full of Milwaukee tools. I feel like unless my nephew stepped in, my wife would basically just give it all away, and I would probably get that at that point.
Yeah, as much as we make fun of girl math when it comes to shoes, handbags, and makeup, I think we're all guilty of using those same principles.
Without a doubt. I've spent more money on this hobby than I'd like to admit. And I don't have a whole lot of money, so that's what makes it even worse. It's not like I'm loaded and spending money. No, I'm broke and still spending money on it. I think I was dropping out there. I just switched over to the 1.9.
All right, gentlemen, I am getting to my destination. It started a little early today, since we've been behind for some straight. Coffee in the morning isn't enough to do it, so we'll do some breathing exercises, you know, and rub my earlobe, hopefully it helps me calm down a bit today. But I will talk to you guys down the airwaves, 73 KF8, FPD. We were making it fine, Adam. We heard that you're rich and you got an unlimited open checkbook with no end in sight. You made it just fine. You weren't breaking up.
Okay. As long as you know I'm loaded. All right, Josh. Good to meet you. Have a good day there.
Yeah, take it easy, Josh. By the way, you must have been right on the edge of your coverage there down in Gaylord on the 1.9, so you're getting pretty broken up there, but still readable. Yeah, I guess we should probably all get back to work. Millions on welfare are depending on us. So you guys have a great day, and I will for sure speak to you later. KF8, DNF.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, 20 minutes out from work yet, so I'm not paying the welfare state yet. Oh, what's Jeff up to today?
Oh, just going by Mount Morris, heading for Kalamazoo to pick up a load to go back over to Van Buren, Canton area. Driving my life away.
Last station, I came in a little late, didn't catch your call sign. Go ahead.
Whiskey Golf 8 WG8W here in Indian River.
Oh, yeah. WG8W, N8APX. Good morning.
I had the radio on for, I was on HF. I seen they asked me to bump down, but I didn't have the volume up. So now I'm all done on HF there. I thought I'd see who was out there. So anyhow, yeah, it's supposed to go up to 49 today. I hope it makes it.
Me too. I'm over this winter stuff. I have had my fill. It can go away now.
The first day of February. Anyhow, okay, I'm not sure who all is in there, but WG8W here.
I think most of them are starting to clear out. Just got Jeff and I in here. I can't remember if I told you or not, Jeff, but the club voted at our last meeting we're going to try and procure Levering Road in Hackleburg as our own.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Oh, what's
there's,
Hackleburg?
Other possibilities that I should probably talk to you about at that point then. Possible financial help, partnership. I was talking to a guy last night. It's a possibility, so that would be pretty sweet if that pull that off.
Yeah, I think that'd be nice. Might not get them all, but at least we keep a couple, and they're under our organization. They'll never go away. Unless they fall to the ground or something, but we'll hope that doesn't happen.
Yep, that's for sure. So, yeah, hopefully it happens. Still working on the other two. One of them, I think, will be okay if it does go. Won't have the freedom, but I think we'll be all right. The other one, I'm not sure on. I think that's still in your court, so. You know how that goes. Morning, Rod. Go ahead and pick it up. KBS up here.
Hey, I got to get going. Wave a hand to you guys.
Somebody threw his hand.
Have a good day.
73
is,
I think things improved once.
I'll be out.
The big man in charge was like, hey, let's get our act together here. Yeah, the only one I'm still up about is Crossroad. I don't know how that's going to go. I still don't know how that purchase is going to go. It sounds like it's set in stone, and then the next time I talk to somebody, they're like, well, we don't know where it's going to go. It's kind of odd, but I'm hoping that at least the sale paperwork will include retaining a couple of Oxcom assets there. And as long as that's in there, we should be fine.
Three, Rod. Yeah, well, last I heard, they wanted too much for it, nobody bid on, so. I don't know, she doesn't want it, I guess, because it's going to cost too much. Not sure, that's what I'm being told, so we'll see. But hopefully the road commission comes together for us. I mean, the club could even take that one for probably what they get it for. That one could, you could make money off of that one because of the what's going on there. But I don't even know if that's an option if far enough up the chain to be able to get that one before the one of the other two would get it. So, but that could actually be a money maker there. Anyway, all the time, I guess. Done almost all I could do, and might have saved the ability to be on one. Like you said, we're going to lose a lot of freedom, but it is what it is.
Yeah, well, it's better than what they first told us, I guess. Pack your stuff and go. I'll take what we can get. But, I don't know. Take it day by day. I don't know if WGAW is still in there, but go ahead.
Going, I got a voice calling me, so have a good day, fellas. WGAW.
See. cleared out, but he jumped back in there. Yep, I'm not going to my own whistle, but I truly believe had we not jumped into the one, I don't think it would have been the outcome that we're expecting. So I just don't feel the help was there that should have been from, not you guys, but, you know, probably not worth talking about it on the radio.
No, probably not. I know what you think. You know what I think. That's what matters. Just doing what we can do with what we got and plugging away. I do really hope we get to hang on to Hackleberg, though. That is such a good site. We got to try to figure out something for that antenna up there that the 7-4 is on. If we do get to hang on to it, we're probably going to have to figure out some kind of climb this summer. That poor thing, half of it broke off in the ice storm, and the phasing harness is just out in free air now, and it's getting overloaded, and the receive on it has just gone to crap.
There could be some big plans there, but, I mean, if it's not, you know, in writing, nobody hates to put a lot of effort and time into it. I mean, it could be a waste, because it could end up on the ground anyways, you know? I don't know. But I wish you guys the best of luck. Keep moving forward. I got more irons in the fire for getting a microwave up there, but again, I can only do what I can do, so. I hate to say it, but it is what it is. I know dispatch always used to say that. Well, it is what it is. Man, I just absolutely despise that.
Yep. It is what it is, and we're doing what we can, and that's all that we can do. One way or another, it'll all be fine, I'm sure. It'll all get worked out in the end. Yeah, I won't have anybody put a foot on that tower without knowing for certain that it's going to stay. That would be a ginormous waste of time and resources. But if we do get to procure it, we'll have to figure something out. But yeah, until that happens, no. I would never send anybody up there without positively knowing that it's not going to be on the ground. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Am I making it into the 1-9 from up here? We're up on a big hill. Yep, you're making it. Roger. Beautiful morning. Sun's coming out. Sun is coming out. Alright, we're just checking in. We're coming into the area here. Roger. Pretty good today. Everything looks like it's going to be a good Friday. Thank you, Elias. Mobile. I hope so. Got a lot on my plate today, so I'm hoping it goes quick. Yeah, that sun does look gorgeous coming up above the trees right now. Alright, well, I am dropping down the hill into the office, so like they say, go do something even if it's wrong, I guess. I'll catch up with you later there, Jeff. Any day, PX.
Give me a call. I wonder where that other guy's at. Never hear you on 3-1. There's a UHF. There's a pretty good group of guys on UHF in the morning. I don't know how well that analog UHF's working on levering, but should be connected. Like I said, there's a pretty good group of guys on there in the morning in the Detroit area, Mount Clemens, and then in the afternoon for the afternoon travel home. So 7-3, nice chat with you. Again, happy birthday. Enjoy it. Only happens once a year, usually. NADPX, KBSWR, Flint.
Yeah, I gotta put him in my scan list. I just got this radio in the car, so I'll be a lot more active now. Catch you later. Go ahead, Drake. I'm like a minute out. Oh, I'm just here. I just left, so. It's good to be in jail again today. Well, that's where you belong.
Oh. I'll grab it.
Wow. Good times. Just don't sneak any contraband in there for the inmates. And you'll be fine. Alright, I'm going to work. Got a lot of crap to do today, and I gotta make it to the KFC hall to get my drum stuff set up by 5, and I'm on call, and yeah, we're going to be on the edge of our seat today. I do got a short trip up to Pelston, so I'll be back in a little bit. Anyway, yeah. Okay. Setting north here on 5 Mile. It's nice to see the sun this morning. Jeff, I don't know if you've got sun down there, but if you do, good times.
Oh, I do. 7-3 to Adam. I do. It's blaring in my rear view mirror. Although I'm glad it's there, I got the sun visor blocking it out because it is bright. Like me, Drake. Like me. Do you still have your UHF repeater, analog repeater linked into the network or not?
I link it up on an as-needed basis because it's one of those multi-mode ones too, and there's been a little bit more digital activity, and the analog has priority, and it's been kicking some of the digital guys off, so I'll link it in whenever needed. I've got another UHF pair. After I get moved and it's warm, I'm going to sneak that somewhere, and that one can live on there full time.
Levering's linked in, but I'm not sure the coverage on that one. I've heard that it's not so great, but I don't know why. But, yeah, did you ever get that cold plug from Fred?
I do not have code plug back from him, so still waiting on that, but not the biggest rush ever because I gotta wait, like I said, I gotta wait till it's warm so I can sling another antenna up there. But anyway. Well, I've been trying out levering. It works actually not too bad. I'm kind of impressed. It works a little bit outside of Petoskey when you're going towards Charlevoix. You can use it for a little while along 31. It's not the greatest thing, but it's there. It works pretty okay in Indian River all the way north through up to, well, just south of Mackinac City. Once you drop down in there, it gets a little rough, but and once you get back up on the bridge, it cranks pretty good. I haven't tried it up towards St. Ignace yet. The 3-1, from what I've experienced, kind of carbon copies the 1-1, but it's got a bit more of a cardioid pattern, radiation pattern.
because it's not on the top of the tower. So you get a little bit of a shielding effect from the tower. But it's not too crazy bad. Like that said, I can use 3-1 all the way down to Indian River, no problem. And then, of course, all the way north. I just think, really, I think the awareness to all the other area hams just needs to be there. If they have decent coverage, levering's not, you know, as good, but it's not horrible.
Yeah, I think more people don't know about it. But eventually. Is the road commission, are they VHF or UHF? I know they're on 800, but what band were they on, or are currently still on?
They are VHF. And they're on one of the many VHFs at that tower there. Well, I think there's only two left that are actually still alive and working antennas anyway.
Gotcha. Yep. Well, I guess the sun's still shining.
Yep. It's nice. I'm actually really glad to see it. I'm hoping it charges up my Solar Mastastic note this morning. I snuck one up at Munson the other week, and I stuck it up there with a dead battery, hoping that the sun would charge it, and I haven't seen it check in, so I may have to go give it some life support.
Yeah, really, who needs DPRS when you got Mesh-tastic, right?
Yeah. I like APRS. I like the coverage that VHF has, plus the amount of power you can run on it, but at the same time, you can tell anybody to buy a Mesh-tastic node and they can use it. APRS, you gotta have a license. But there's reasons for that.
They would come out with a different mode for APRS. I forget, is it FC8 that all you hear is the static, the white noise? One of the modes that covers so well because it is in the noise, you know. That would be nice for, like, APRS.
The only issue with FT8 is each transmission has a very limited amount of characters, less than most APRS packets do, or any packet in general. And it takes 15 seconds to transmit that message, and it's FSK, or I think it's MSSK. I forget the modulation, but you actually need a completely different radio with a completely different final stage that's capable of being sideband in order to actually get the advantage of running a motor like that. If you're not, what you're thinking of is not a bad idea. I definitely thought of it. It's just not super duper practical.
Be noisy, and I tell you that because I don't like listening to people trying to carry on a conversation when they're noisy, tell somebody and they keep carrying on. I mean, that's just not very good, not very good practice. But yeah, I don't know if it was FT8, one of them, but people were talking about it, you know, all you hear is white noise, and that's why it carries so good. Maybe it wasn't Mesh-tastic. I don't know, one of them, because you don't really hear much. Maybe it wasn't Mesh-tastic. I don't know. I'm sure you know, but it would be nice to have APRS, you know, have that kind of capabilities.
I switched over to my remote receiver. Is that better?
You're using just a different PL?
Affirmative.
The poor man's voter. It works. A lot of people did it for a lot of years, whatever it takes, really.
Yeah, well, I was trying to do, so ASL 3, and I guess it was a feature in ASL 2, if you use the USB radio driver, there is a simple voter feature. You can have ASL do the voting between, you know, all your remote receivers and whatnot, kind of like how an RTCM can, but you won't have the GPS functionality, so when it switches, you may have audio artifacts. I tried setting that up, and it sounded like it was trying, and I would key the remote receiver, but it would never pass audio. But if I keyed the local receiver, it would pass the audio. So it was always, it sounded like it was only ever letting the local receiver win. And I couldn't quite figure it out, and there was, like, absolutely no documentation about it after that, beyond setting it up. Like, there was no troubleshooting steps or anything. So I think I'm just going to have to buy once, cry once, and grab a few RTCMs and do it the Central Michigan way.
Yep. Well, you can go old school voter, and that's really probably what that's trying to do, is do an old school voter. Just do it over signal to noise ratio. The only modern way to do it is the RTCM. You got to have the GPS coming, and because it needs to know what time it was received. So you're comparing the same audio on all the receivers at the same time. Other than that, it's just going to be a noise to signal ratio, like a Doug Hall voter or any of them, which they work, but you got maintenance on them and blah, blah, blah. It's just, I don't have time for that.
Yep, understood there. I just wish those RTCMs weren't $300. That's kind of a tough pill to swallow. But, oh well, we'll figure something out. My cost of living is about to go down, so hopefully I can save up a few pennies for those and get this machine working up again, get it working a bit better. At least it's got the remote receiver now on the other PL, and I just have a separate memory for it. This seems to work pretty well. At least to the north. To the south, I gotta figure out another receiver location for that one, but I'm taking advantage of what I've got right now, and it's working.
I mean, there's a lot of people that did the poor man's vote. You gotta know, and everybody's gotta know, have a mental note of what, when you get here, you gotta switch over. I mean, the way it is, you want to continue to talk, and if you don't have the money, if people aren't donating, well, that's just the way it works. Yeah, the RTCMs went up to $289, went up $20. We just bought 5 of them for a project, so yeah, that was a good chunk of change.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I guess I got to get them before they're $400. That's right. Anyway. Yeah. And this list, there wasn't a whole lot of noise at that Munson site on THF. It's plugging the MI7 node. It doesn't hear real great either. I ended up having to reprogram the power on that radio down a little bit just so that it would match its coverage, its received coverage anyway. And then that's still cranking along. But, and I got such a long laundry list of things I got to do there. But it requires nice weather. It's not nice enough yet. What project you guys got going on down that way?
Oh, a little bit more out when it comes to provision, but it's VHF. Hopefully be happening here in the real near future. But we'll make that one your main receiver, and make your other one your secondary receiver. Put the main PL on the receiver you're on now, if that one works better.
Oh, I thought about doing that, but the issue is it only works better to the north. Once you're in Traverse City, the local one is better by a long shot. Because the remote one is on the north side of the hill. The local one is on the east, or on the southeast side. So the local receiver has significantly better coverage in the Traverse City, which is where that transmitter is. So it kind of made more logical sense to leave the local receiver as the main.
Yeah, I gotcha. Well, like I said, you just got to make a mental note when you get to set spot, you just change over and go on with life. I mean, receiver's working really well. Maybe you're backhauling it across the internet.
Yeah, it's just internet backhaul right now. I mean, I'll grab it too. But that's anything. I'll be right back. I got to grab some fuel for the vehicular. Any damage?
Give me the SWR, Perry. You're noisy, but you're in there.
Yeah, I think I can only get into the situation here from there, but I don't know. But I'm not going to, so I'll have to see if I can get on the phone and help me out. That's right in the center of the state.
Center state, so yeah, I can't carry on a conversation like that. Can you lead us up here, sir?
Joe, KBYS Mobile.
Hey, Gilly, Mobile.
I sent you a message. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but back rolling, huh?
Actually, I bought windshield washer solvent, and I forgot to grab it, so I gotta go grab it.
Did you say you forgot your phone?
No, I went to go buy windshield washer stuff. I'll be right back. I forgot to grab it off the shelf.
Yeah, it's pretty sloppy out here. Hey, UIS, I'll be clear for now.
Okay, now I have the anti-salt fluid. I am ready to conquer the roads again.
Well, there you go. Better you guys up there than us down here, but I hear we're supposed to be getting some more of that white stuff tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night. So. Ready for it to just go all the way. Be 50 degrees at night and 60 degrees during the day would be absolutely perfect.
Yeah, right? As Jeff would say, we got networks to build.
Yeah. Antennas to fix. I didn't just think you were going to go up and fix that antenna at Hackleberg yourself.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
what's that? It was too fast. I didn't hear it.
I was saying, yeah, I'll get right on it.
Yep, I hear you.
Well, I've got a solution to at least make that machine usable again. It requires getting in there. I'm just kind of doing the split antenna thing like we used to before I put the duplexer on it. It'll have lopsided receive transmit coverage, but at least it will be receive-wise. It'll hear better than it talks. I prefer having over an alligator station.
Yeah. Well, it's better that way than the other way, because then you don't get people that aren't making it try to carry on a conversation. It's no good. One of these days.
Yep, one of these days. So, requires time and money, and unfortunately this world has a shortage of time. Oh, and a shortage of money. But that's okay. We overcome and we still build networks anyway. In the end, we find a solution that works.
Yep. I hear you. Speaking of getting in there, have you talked to that guy yet to see about that others in the other part of the state?
Oh, Benton Harbor? I have still not heard anything back. I will nudge them again. I have a feeling they're not taking me as seriously as I hoped.
Worth me calling that guy, or if that just make it worse?
Let me pull a few more strings and see what I can do. But if not, then I'll let you know.
Not that it helped me, but it helped the network, you know. So, one of them things.
No, I get it. I want to be able to help you guys out, so. You've helped us out a whole bunch. I'd like to give it back in return in any way that I possibly can. So. Whether or not that's providing a site for your guys' equipment or, you know, helping you guys out down that way whenever I can, whenever I can. So, that's the goal.
I'm watching the node, but I'm hearing something strange in there on you, almost like that, maybe that one repeater, starting to squawk a little bit.
Really? What did it sound like?
Like a transmitter getting into the receiver. I'm looking at it now, though. Must have spent something on your signal because there's nothing on the node.
That's interesting. I don't know. I did fix that the Benzie machine. Until the snow melts, the solution was just change the output PL to something else, so that way when and if the transmitter gets into the receiver when the temperature changes, because it's temperature related whenever it happens. It won't have the ability to keep itself keyed up, because it'll be receiving a different PL than the access tone, so it'll shut right up.
Yeah, that's a good, dirty solution. Played that game before, too.
Yeah, it's not the end-all be-all, it's not the fix, it's a Band-Aid kind of deal. I don't like seeing that as a permanent solution, but it works in a pinch.
Yep, you called it right. It's a Band-Aid.
Unfortunately, this time of year, whatever works, works. And when you got a better solution, you implement it when it's warm. So, but yeah, the pattern is whenever temperature rises above freezing is when it happens. And all that equipment is in a non-temperature controlled environment. So there's moisture where it shouldn't be.
Yep. You must be combining them, your remote receiver. You must be getting that into the RV computer. You're doing that through all Ottawa.
Yeah, it's just a receive-only amp repeat node. And it's a private node that goes straight to the 2.6 node, and then it combines them to the hub. So there's a little bit of audio latency involved there, but I wanted to keep the audio latency local to the repeater lower. That's why I connected the remote receiver directly to the repeater on amp repeat that way.
Yeah, because I wasn't seeing it on the hub, so that makes sense.
Right. Well, once I get some RTCMs, I'll have to do that little voter page that Fred's got for, I think, for the Guilford machine. That's kind of neat.
We got that for a few of them. Everything's got RTCMs on it. Has that, even Mayville's only got the standalone, but it's on RTCM, so that, it's on, has that too. Pretty nice to be able to go online and see real time what's being voted. And everybody can see it, you don't have to be at the repeater site, so it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I agree with that statement. DMH mobile. Yeah, it's pretty neat. I just wish that simple voter feature and app repeat worked. That would have been kind of nice. I mean, it's just signal to noise ratio voting. Like old GPS voters and stuff like that. Just signal to noise. And really, if your latency between all your receivers is low enough, the artifacting shouldn't be too terrible. And you can choose, you know, the margin, the signal margin of when it tries, when it goes to the different receiver based on how much the signal changes, how often it revotes, and all that stuff. All those settings were in there. So you could have definitely tuned it up so where it would work pretty good, but it just didn't work. And it kind of, yeah, that kind of sucks, but what can you do? Or maybe I did something wrong, although I don't know, because I followed the guide to a T, didn't work. And I was like, all right, well, maybe the AI can figure out something that I didn't see. And I tried two different AIs, and it was like, oh, you did everything right. And I was like, okay, well, cool. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, they just don't get how it's going to work, which you're essentially digitizing the audio from the remote receiver. I mean, I don't know. Sure, there's some pretty fancy software out there, but it's just the concept doesn't seem like it would work.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I'll just do it the right way. Be done with it, do it the right way, and things will work, so. There you go. But, yeah. shoot. I'm going to ask something. I forgot. Love that. It's great. Just rolling through, port here. Down by the airport. I forget if this airport's paved. I don't think so. Doesn't look like it because there's a whole bunch of snow. But maybe it's just not in the wintertime.
Starting to get a little staticky. Yes, you can take multiple RTCM, running them off in one GPS, if that's what you were wondering. But even if it's not, maybe you have your question now. Remember it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Does each RTCM need a GPS? I guess you answered that. You can put them, so I'm assuming you just need the main transmitter to have GPS, and then the other ones just feed off of that?
No. No, each RTCM at a remote receive site has to have the GPS because it has to have the timing. It timestamps the audio when it sends it back across, so when it gets back to the main site, it gets loaded at the same time. You got to have that timestamp on it. However, if you have multiple RTCMs at a site, you can feed them with one GPS. You just wire the GPS, I think it's two lines off. You power it off the main GPS, and the rest of them are just kind of like slaves off and, you know, the GPS data line and pulse line. So if you have multiple RTCMs at one site, like that, you only need one GPS.
Okay, understood. Yep, got it. Do those have, I guess I haven't done a whole lot of reading into those. Do those have a built-in GPS receiver? You just got to put an antenna on it?
Negative. No, they do not. You need, I forget which one we're using, but it's got the 5 pulse per second. Specific GPS you got to use.
Oh, boy, I guess that uses even more money.
Yeah, the ones where GPS we're using, I think they're like 70. They were 70 bucks a pop, but they may have gone up. You may be able to use other ones. You just got to make sure that they have the, I think it's five pulse per second, and there's something else. You got to have the time and date and this. Certain parameters that it has to see, that RTCM has to see from the GPS.
All right. I was going to say, I know I can get my hands on a couple of NetClocks, so I didn't know if those would work. I guess I'll have to do some research on that, see if the NetClocks will work, because if they do, I won't have to buy extra ones. And then I can also use the NetClock as a frequency reference for my repeaters, so I don't have to align the reference every year.
Yeah, reference. We're an amateur radio. Nobody worries about that.
I do. I like making sure my stuff is on frequency.
Oh, I know. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's not many people to do these days.
I know. It's kind of funny. Like, I'll tune up my, I'll tune up a repeater or something on my RTL receivers, my SDR, and I'll watch the carrier come up and it just, the the carrier is so hilariously unstable. Like it comes on, I mostly see it on the AC repeaters. It comes up and it starts above frequency, and then as, you know, after about 10 seconds it starts drifting down off frequency below the target. And I'm like, huh. Interesting. That's, I totally don't see that getting worse over time.
Yeah, it's good to keep them where they're supposed to be. There's no doubt about that.
That's for sure. Those RTCMs, you can do simulcast with those, correct?
Yes, you can. You have to take out, there's a reference crystal in there. You have to take that out and put a time reference in there, which you can use through a prod rock, put a crystal and put a prod rock in there. You program the prod rock and feed it the 10 meg reference, I think. And then you can do a simulcast. But then, you know, you got to make sure all your, obviously your repeaters are on freak and all that other jazz.
Yeah, that's where that 5 or 10 megahertz reference comes in on those repeaters. My UHF and UHF machine have the jumper hooked up to the back for the reference. I've always wanted to use it, but I guess it's also not really necessary. You don't have to, but well, it's there. It's kind of neat. Also not required. I mean, I'm up there enough that I always check it, make sure it's on. And if the error is within 10, 20 hertz, I'm usually pretty okay. Happy with that. That's the nice thing about using commercial-grade equipment. Pretty standardized PM procedures. The equipment's rock solid, doesn't drift off frequency, or, well, when you're using the internal reference, it doesn't drift off frequency as much as a mobile radio.
Phone call, so I'm going to cut you loose. Keep it up there.
All right, we'll catch you. I hate you, Mitch. And I'll pick you up. And it's APX. Oh, were you filling up your brain with information, Adam?
No, I'd have to have a brain in order to do that.
Oh, you still have Tin Can Man Syndrome.
Well, it didn't approve. I am still completely brainless.
Yeah, that makes two of us. Two quarter idiots can make a half idiot, maybe.
We make two halves of a whole idiot.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
Or like my old boss used to say, hire the handicap, they're fun to watch.
And somehow I still make things work. Oh, you heading your way up to Felston?
Nope, plans got changed. That job got moved. The other job I didn't want to do today got moved. And I'm just going to look at a steam humidifier.
I wish those were more common in households.
They're getting to be more common. We got a ton of them.
Oh, there you go. I've got just one of those cheapo ones. I've got a couple of them. I've got one of those cold wicking ones and then one of those ultrasonic piezoelectric thingamajobs. And they get the job done, but I also don't have forced heating, forced air heating at the moment, so it's my only option.
Yeah, you can get away with those ultrasonic ones if you don't have forced air. If you got forced air, be prepared to have your furnace go off on limit. They disperse the hard water minerals into the air, and it collects on furnace filters, and I've watched those plug furnace filters in a matter of days.
You get less of that if you use distilled water.
Yep, just fine if you use distilled water, but most people don't want to pay that kind of money.
Unfortunately, I don't have a choice. The water that we have, or I have, it's so bad. I tried the tap water, and it was like, I had this, like, plastic toxic smell. It was horrible. I had to get out my entire apartment, and I was like, all right, to the grocery store.
Yeah, gross. Hang tight one second. I got to call my caretaker here and tell him I'm going to be 10 minutes out.
Copy. I just switched over to 19.
Okay, I'm back.
Cool. I'm on the, in the passing lane portion of 31 just south of, Charlie Box here.
So you got just about complete coverage all the way up from DC.
Yeah, and I think even Rick, PA7QMD, was saying he was, as soon as he got out of the bowl where his house is at, he was able to use it all the way up to 131 on and Plum Valley Road. Once he got onto 131, it got pretty iffy, but that's not bad.
No, that's not bad at all. Can't complain about that.
Nope, not at all. I just got to work on getting a receiver for improving the south coverage, because I know the transmitter works. I can hear the transmitter almost down to Cadillac.
Telling you, 250 watt amplifier and volt receive all over the place.
That's what I want to do. But I gotta find an amplifier. But more importantly, I gotta find more receive sites.
We really gotta get something figured out for Gaylord, though.
I couldn't agree more.
I need to message that guy from Empiric again, because he said he thought he had a line on the tower down there.
Yeah, if we can make that happen, my God, we will find ways.
Yep, something in Gaylord and something in Roger City.
I have to message my contact there at the Sheriff's Department again.
Yeah, it'd be nice to stretch out that way. Eventually, I'd like to get over to Altina, but I don't know. That never seemed to go anywhere.
Yeah. We'll figure something out. So, I got to do a bit more research on those RTDMs. I know it's the thing I gotta go with now, or I want, the stuff I want to use, but I gotta do some more reading up on them and save up some pennies.
Here's the hardest part. The money.
Unfortunately, that is very true. and also, unfortunately, that is becoming even more premium in today's day and age.
Yeah, they're certainly not making things any cheaper.
That is for sure. So, I'm going to try to make my way to the next CCE meeting. I haven't made an appearance in a while, and I'm sure it would probably enlighten some people to let them know that I'm still alive.
Well, you better make it, because you've already committed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I do have that blocked on my schedule. So, yes, I am attending.
Good. I hope so. Because I penciled in that appointment with you a month prior. So, and you already approved. You don't have a choice now.
Yay! I win.
Because we're going to do a crash course in trunk 800 systems and their associated radios.
Well, I guess I'm just the guy for that.
Right. I figure between you and I, we will make two halves of a whole idiot.
Yay!
I'm just aiming for basic radio functionality. I want to make sure that the rest of the group can get handed an 800 radio and know how to make it work.
That, and also have a basic understanding of how it works.
Yeah, that too. That would be good.
Is there a whiteboard there?
Yes. And there's also a smart board.
I don't really care about the smart board. Whiteboard's better. That's how Motorola taught me that's how Motorola teaches everybody, how a trunk system works. They have this big wall. There's no drywall. It is literally just dry erase board. And they draw it all out for you.
You know, it's funny because that's exactly how I've envisioned teaching stuff like that. Like, whenever the subject of 800 radios comes up, I'm like, okay, I'm going to need a whiteboard for this.
I'm a visual and auditory, you know what I'm saying, kind of learner. If you can draw it and explain it to me, if you can just draw it out, I can figure it out, you know. And that's how I can explain things the best, is by drawing it. Even though my penmanship is god awful, and my art skills are significantly worse.
Yep, I'm the same way. Barely read what I write, but that's the best way for me to get it out of my head and into yours.
Yep. Now it's gonna draw it out. Draw out the zone controller. Draw out the back halls as just dashed lines between the sites. Make little sites. Make little subscriber radios. Explain what the zone controller is doing whenever a radio is turned on. Explain what the zone controller is doing every time you press the magical push-to-talk button. Explain what the zone controller and radio do whenever you change the channel knob. There's a lot of handshaking involved.
Explain the fact that when you key the mic, it doesn't just go to the repeater and back. It has to go all the way down to the zone controller and back.
Yep, and you know what that's called? It is called the rendezvous point. It is in a assigned multicast IP address that is in the zone controller, and that is the rendezvous point, and that is where all the audio goes in and out for that voice call.
It's a whole lot of hops from talking inside a building to the front yard. That's the point I've been trying to get across to people.
And really, when you think about it, it's kind of amazing how low the latency is on MPSCS, considering how many hops your voice is making, you know, to go all the way to Vanderbilt back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's astounding that it's tuned up so well that you barely notice a delay.
And even the latency between sites, like if you've got somebody standing next to you that's on a different site and you key up, the latency is still surprisingly low. I think it's about maybe 100 or 100 so milliseconds, but that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's slow enough, it's quick enough that you got to really be paying attention to even notice it. So that is quite amazing, especially when you're, I don't know, out of a place like Bliss, or heck, all the way over to Alpena. That's a lot of hops.
We're also considering other factors like the site's being fed with fiber instead of microwave.
Yep. Although, one would think that fiber would be the faster route.
It really depends on how, like, how many, what the route is in terms of the, like, from the route to and from. It really depends, but typically, yes, you are correct. It is better. So, anyway. But, yeah, it's pretty neat. I also got to figure out how to explain it in terms that people that are not radio technicians will understand.
Yeah, I struggle with that, too. I tend to explain things like people have the same knowledge base that I do. I'm like, oops, let me break out the crayons here.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, there's a lot of moving parts to a trunking system, and it's also kind of amazing how one small issue could also cripple the whole thing.
Don't say that. It's the most reliable thing on Earth. I think I'm at my destination, so I'm going to sign off for now. I think I'm here. I got to start looking anyway. Head at APX.
Okay, sounds good. I guess I'll let my radio cool down now. And ATMH Mobile.
Good morning, KDMTT. The 3-4 sure sounds good this morning.
Hey, good morning, Chris. How are things?
Hanging in there. I'm starting 5 days off and the sun's shining. So that can't be bad at all.
Not at all. You know it's going to be a good Friday, knock on wood, when the sun is out first thing in the morning.
Brightens up my day, and I'm like, it's 8:30, and that sun is up. It is up, which is meaning that this nastiness, even though it's coming right back, is going to go away soon.
Heck, there was even sunlight at 7:15 this morning. I couldn't believe it.
Yep. March is a nice month, and we're just about there, and you know, we've had some snow this winter, and I'm ready to see it go.
Yeah, I'm with you. I still want to get a little bit of skiing in before I see it go. But, well, we'll see how that goes. Well, Chris, how's life been treating us lately? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Hey, Furman, I'm old, and I can't quite make out who the heck you are, to be honest with you. I can't tell if you're DMH or the other guy. I'm heading home from work, so I didn't hear the whole conversation. So admittedly, you have me at a disadvantage, because you know who I am, and I'm not quite sure. I'm doing fine, you know, just coming home from NC Station 2. Everything's about the same. Still playing with my solar stuff, a little bit of radio stuff. I kind of want to get a new HF rig.
Yeah, Chris is drink any DMH. Yeah, good deal. Good to know that you're still kicking around and you're doing well. Playing with stuff. Trying to do the same. I've got a lot of radio projects to do, but I'm also moving to a different apartment in town. I'll actually be Joe's neighbor, Joe NATM's neighbor, so him and I can put our brains together more often and make things work more often. Hi.
Gotcha. Well, that's cool. That'll be fun. Joe would be a good neighbor. I wouldn't want to get too close to the, I don't know, there's an area there that emergency vehicles don't like to go in over there. Hopefully you're not going to that area.
No, I'm not. I'll be right next door to Joe. His neighbor's gotten an apartment built into the side of his house, and he offered it, and I was like, all right, cool. It's a lot cheaper than what I'm paying now, so I will 100% take you up on that offer. So and that means Joe and I can make antennas work, and we've got kind of our own little radio technician dealio shop set up there for repairing and modifying stuff in that area anyway, so it just makes that process a little easier.
I think I know what you're talking about, and yeah, that should work out just fine. That's cool. Is this going to be like an apartment by yourself? Have you ever done that before? Because that is a terrific experience for a young man or a young woman. I think it should be a requirement, really.
Nope, this will be my second apartment. I'm currently living in an apartment on over by 5 Mile and Hammond right now, and it's not a bad place. It's not, you know, economically viable as a sustainable option. It's pretty expensive, and the place that this place that came up is significantly cheaper, so of course I'm going to take that. And it's got other amenities that I don't currently have, like gas appliances.
Yeah. Well, I was really concentrating on by yourself. It's nice to have your own apartment, so stuff is like where you left it. And you know, I've had good roommates, and I've had some that didn't work out too. And it's good to have a place all by yourself. But speaking of places, I am just pulling into the driveway. So I'm going to say 73, and I'm going to be clear on your final. Nice talking to you, Drake. KD8MTT.
Have a good one, Chris. 73. KD8MTT, NATMH, mobile.
NATWH, NAYSF.
The airwaves are busy this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Grace. How are you doing today?
Surviving and looking at the giant snow mountains that are out over to the east of me here on Lake Michigan.
Where are you at?
Going by 9 Mile Point. over near Petoskey.
Okay. Yeah, I was just up there yesterday. Kind of interesting. Lately, it seems like the last few times I've talked to you, or, well, about two-thirds of the times I've talked to you lately, it seems like I've been at home rather than in the mobile. Every now and then I get a mobile. I do have a question for you.
I may or may not have answers.
Well, give it a shot. I'm looking for some way to estimate coverage of a repeater. Years ago, there was a Canadian website that you could put in your, you could put a click on a map, and you would tell it what frequency and what kind of antenna was there and everything else, and it would do a lot of, kind of thing that looked like a squash bug, but it would give you a plot of what the, an estimate of what the coverage of a repeater would be. And a few years back, actually probably about three or four cell phones ago, there was an app I had downloaded. But I can't remember the app. The website's gone. So you got any ways to estimate coverage of a repeater?
I think that website's still there. I think it's VE2DVE or something. Radio Mobile. There's a web application. And there's a Windows application. I still use that, and it works quite well.
Okay, now what was the, there's two, the website and the app?
Yeah, it's not a phone application, it's a Windows application you gotta run on a computer, but yeah, Radio Mobile, just look up VE2, Victor Echo 2, Delta Bravo Echo, I think is the call sign, Radio Mobile. It'll come up, the website will come up. You got to make login credentials and stuff like that. Radio Mobile. That is the way you make that happen there is with that application. And it's pretty much the same of what you're talking about.
Now, what was the call sign with that?
I believe it's Victor Echo 2, Delta Bravo Echo.
Okay, well, actually, I'm at a computer right now, so I can take a check and see if we can find it here. Any YSS?
All right, yeah, sounds good. Let me know what you find. If not, you can send me a message on Facebook with your parameters, and I can make it up for you and send you a file back.
I think I might have found it. Roger Cootie or something like that. You even got a video on how to use it.
Yeah, I think it's the same guy that's been doing it for all this time, too.
Well, I remember I had it downloaded into my computer. No, that was a website, excuse me. I remember I had it bookmarked, and I thought I had it bookmarked, might have lost it anyway, I didn't use it for a while. For a while, it seemed like I was using it about every other week, and then I didn't use it for a few years, probably about 10 years, and now I'm starting to, well, it'll be kind of nice to be able to do some experimenting and plotting.
I didn't quite catch that. Your audio was a little low.
Lost track because of neglect. That's the bottom line.
Oh, understood. Okay. Yeah. I have the older version, I've got the newer version, and I've got the web application. I prefer the older version. I don't remember what version it is, but I use the older one. That's what I'm most familiar with, and it's got all of my stuff, so
It just works.
Well, I remember using it. The website. I remember a website. And, you know, you logged in. You had to create an account. It was free. And you logged in, and you put in your parameters, and it just worked nicely.
Right. The thing that was nice about the web one was that it did all of that calculating in its on the web server. When you use the Windows application, it actually uses your computer's hardware, which is nice for creating larger images of your coverage, really high resolution images, when you have a fast, really, really powerful computer. Because when you're trying to generate those larger resolution images on the web interface, it takes a while. And I've got a pretty powerful machine at home that I built about a year ago. And I can have it generate a 4,000 by 4,000 pixel image of radio coverage in about 5 minutes, maybe a little less.
Yeah, I don't know if I need a real detailed image, and the computer I have here is, in its past life, it was a business computer, Dell, a business computer, picked it up surplus. It was a Windows 10 machine, and he's not being too thrilled with Windows 10. I have voted Linux in it, because that's what I'm used to using.
Yeah, I understood. Windows 11 is kind of iffy, but everything that I use is on that operating system right now, and I really only use Linux for things that need to be mission critical and need to have 100% uptime, because I can't trust Windows to be that reliable anymore. So, all right, John. Well, I'm strolling into Petoskey here, and I'm not very far from my destination, so I'm going to say 7-3. Enjoy the day. ATMH Mobile, Petoskey.
Well, thank you, Drake. That's what worked out, because that's the thing I wanted to ask you about. So I've got some things I can poke around and take a look. I got to get going pretty soon, too, because my wife and I are going down to the local community college. They have a beautician school, and they give you a cut rate if you volunteer to have the students work on you. So that's what we're doing this morning. 7-3, my friend. N-A-D-W-H, N-A-Y-S-S.
N8APX, KCVSU, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Toby. What's going on today?
Temperature is on the rise, and it's a Friday.
Yep, and I go on call, so hopefully that temperature keeps rising.
I'm on call all the time. I gotta go on the station, do my monthly at our main station, and I'll have my monthly all done. And then I gotta see what I have for next month.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I'm on call for that all the time, too. But this weekend, I'm on call for work. And that phone rings a lot more often.
So what are you guys doing with all these towers that aren't being put back up? Are you guys losing amateur radio antennas up there?
Well, the East Jordan Tower fell in the ice storm, and that had the Chain of Lakes repeater on it. So that's been off the air since March.
Everything else sustained pretty well. The Sheboygan Tower antenna got some damage, but it's still functioning. Everything else seems to be all right.
Okay, yeah, I know. Somebody said that the tower in East Stern isn't going back up, so I know the stuff's in Duncan's, not Duncan, Nelson's garage still, so yeah, we'll see what happens. All the fun. Hey, is 14668 still going?
I don't know for sure. I haven't heard anything other than I think they lost their spot on the tower, and the antenna is currently on the side of the shack. That's, I think, the last I had heard.
Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah, I haven't had in the radio in many years, so I didn't know if it was still going or not. I know it went down at one time, and then they moved it somewhere else, and that wasn't very good signal down here.
Yeah, I haven't tried using it in a long time, so I don't know what the status is of it, but yeah, the last I had heard is I think they had to move the antenna down and put it on the side of the shack, so it's probably not getting out too far.
Dang, and that was one of our powerhouse repeaters, too. You know, we've lost two good ones. We've lost the 8-2 that used to be up there in Elmira, and that went to somewhere in Gaylord, but I can't hear it anymore. That was a nice one to have, and the 6-8 was. Yeah, I think we're going to lose a lot more than that. I don't know anymore. It's getting crazy with amateur radio.
Well, not as long as I'm still involved in it. I have fought tooth and nail to keep things the way they are. Not that I want to pat myself on the back or anything, but I don't give up. When somebody tells me no or that's not going to happen, or I don't take no for an answer. We're going to figure this out one way or another to keep our stuff going.
Oh, I know. It's crazy, you know. I don't know. So, yeah, no, it's sunny down here in 32, so it can keep rising. I got to go to the station, like I said, do maintenance, so, yeah. Okay, well, hey, just wanted to say hi to you, and you have a good one. N8APX, KCAVSU, 73.
All right, sounds good. I'm headed down to Petoskey to go dig a hole around the well. It's going to be a muddy, sloppy mess, so, yay me.
Alpha 8 Romeo Kilo. Alpha 8 Romeo Kilo.
AD9 and then mobile monitoring.
Alpha, Kilo, Ann Arbor. KFA ENF.
KAB9NN mobile monitoring.
W8RAD listening. W8RAD888RK. AA8RK, I think I got that right. Thanks for coming back. I just stopped at a gas station here. We're on the road heading from, we're on our way from Alpena down to the metro area for just some family stuff.
Real good. I'm sitting at my desk slash shack in Ann Arbor trying to plow through all the email I've gotten in the last 24 hours. And I think in the next hour I'm going to give up and try and do something more gratifying.
Yeah, I don't blame you for that. We've had a pretty cold and snowy winter up in Alpena, and we are presently between Fairview and Mayo, and the sun is out, and it's about 42 degrees in it. Compared to how things have been, this feels like it might as well be Orlando, Florida. I mean, it just feels like just to see the sun and have a 40-something degree temperature, it's amazing how that feels.
Yeah, it's sunny here, too. High temperature is going to be in the low 50s in Ann Arbor today and Metro Detroit. But then it's going to go down 20 degrees in the next couple of days. We might have snow on Tuesday. But that's Michigan. I burned up the pavement on I-75. Excuse me, a bit in the last few months. We have family in Petoskey, and we decamped because we're having our bathroom gutted, and so we spent a week up there. But don't you know, I got up there and realized I had forgotten all my meds down here, so the next day I did a lovely little bounce trip, Petoskey, Ann Arbor, and back. I listened to a lot of podcasts that day. AARK, Ann Arbor, name's Ralph.
Roger that. Name here is Brad, Bravo, Romeo, Alpha, Delta. That's quite the that's quite the run from Ann Arbor to Petoskey. I think Petoskey for us is, even from Alpena, is about two and a half, three hours. So, yeah, I can imagine. But I suppose if you're somebody who likes some quiet time and listening to podcasts, I guess you got plenty of that in. We've had, well, after Christmas, things kind of went downhill weather-wise in northeast Michigan. It was, 20 degrees for a high was a good day, and I don't think we've seen the sun all winter. I know it's supposed to go down and be cold, I think, Sunday while we're gone, but it's supposed to bounce back a little bit, and I think we're going to be in the mid to upper 30s, which is a big improvement. So anything that'll melt the snow, we've got so much snow in Alpena. I don't know the last time we've had that much snow, and so it's great for anybody that's into the snow sports. But it does kind of wear you down after a while. You get cabin fever a lot. So, yeah, looking forward to coming down in 50-degree weather today. So, yeah, hopefully you're able to turn off the email and get outside and enjoy some of that.
I'm retired, and I'm about as overcommitted as when I was working. So, in general, I don't like cold weather, but my observation is that if I spend time outdoors in the winter, then I'm not so bothered by the heat in the summer. And conversely, if I get a good sweat on for a long part of the summer, then winter isn't so bad either. But what did I do? I got up and went to the gym, came home and had breakfast, read the paper. I've been looking at email ever since. So, yeah, I've been doing that and writing. I got a due date for a piece in a couple of weeks, and I think I've got enough information to make it worthwhile.
Well, you're right about that. Yeah, if you can get outside, it's always better to go outside than even if it's cold out. It's like, what's that? Somebody out there said there's no such thing as bad weather, just inappropriate clothing. So it's always better if you can get outside and just kind of, get some fresh air, that kind of thing. It's just... yeah, it can be a little tough. We have a 15-month-old baby, so she's just kind of old enough she's not old enough yet to really kind of play in the snow, but old enough that she does need to burn off energy. So we're hoping for warmer weather so we can take her outside and have her a little bit. And then next winter, who knows? Maybe we'll see how far along she is. Maybe she'll be able to play in the snow a little bit more, and maybe we'll even have her on ice skates or something. So anyway, I think we're about to get back on the road. So I will say 73. Hopefully you get your piece done in time for your deadline. And it was good talking to you.
Real good. Have a good trip. In some culture, they let babies take naps in cold weather because they think that hardens them against the weather. And it's not a bad thing. I've got a 3.5-year-old granddaughter, and her parents are already teaching her how to swim, which is a good thing to know. And besides, at her age, it's all fun. So, 73, Motor Safe, 8RK, Ann Arbor.
Yeah, roger that. And maybe we'll catch you on the way back up north. This is W8RAD, and clear.
Hi, Ralph. Bye, Ralph. Been listening for a bit out at my destination. See you later, W8RPM.
Real good, Ron. Have a good day. Catch you later. 888RK.
NADMJO Mobile.
89 MSD Mobile.
KD9 MSD. Good afternoon, AMH Mobile.
Is that... I'm sorry, can you give your call sign phonetically? I'm a little, I guess I'm a little hard of hearing today.
Yeah, November 8, Delta Mike Hotel, over.
November 8, Delta Mike Hotel, I believe, or is it just Mike Hotel?
Yeah, it's November 8, Delta Mike Hotel. Yeah, just to let you know, your audio is really hot. It's almost pretty difficult to understand you.
I apologize there. Is that any better?
Yeah, that's the ticket right there.
Yeah, I got the gain turned up on my hand mic. I'm just using the HT on a mag mount. I just making sure I had this repeater program correctly. Name here is Mike. Call sign is Kilo Delta 9, Mike Sierra Delta. Just up in here in town visiting Great Wolf Lodge, sitting out here in the parking lot just seeing what the local traffic was like.
Oh, good deal. Are you talking radio traffic or like road traffic?
Radio traffic. I see there, I just got on repeater book and I see there's a lot of repeaters that are not the W8IRA. I followed that network up from, just north of Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Yeah, the IRA network's RF-linked network, and the link network you're on right now is the Northern Michigan Links Repeater Network, and it's linked via microwave links and just traditional internet.
Oh, no kidding. That is really cool. There's a lot of linked systems up here in Michigan. You guys are a little spoiled compared to me.
We got fun toys here.
Yeah, I would say so. You guys really got it going on. Congratulations. That's you guys got some really neat things happening up here. I was really impressed. I mean, I made it just about... I would say 250 miles and was in the IRA network for about the entire time.
Yeah, it's fun having that kind of stuff. But, anyway, whereabouts are you from?
Just north of Fort Wayne, if you're familiar with that. Right there in the tri-state region of Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio.
Oh, good deal. I don't think I've been over that way. I've been down to Bloomington. One of my siblings goes to college there, so. Yep, been through Indiana before, been through Ohio before, but never in the tri-state area.
Yeah, I've never been up. I've been through a lot of Michigan before, but I've never been up here in this area before, so I'm kind of excited. We're going to hang out and check out the lodge today and tomorrow, and then I think tomorrow before we head home, we're going to head over to Empire and check out the beach over there and just look at the lake. I think the kids might enjoy that.
Oh, I'll bet they'll enjoy that. Yeah, Empire's great. It's a little bit of a drive from here, but that's okay. It's worth it. You should really check it out in the summertime, too.
Yeah, I've got a friend that lives there, and her and her husband said that the beach is really nice over there in the summer. So that's on the to-do list for this summer as well, come back up. But we figured we'd come scout it out and get the kids out for a little bit of winter fun.
All right on. Hey, I'm going to let you go. I'm just pulling into my driveway. But good to hear you on here, and we'll say 7-3. Enjoy your time. And DMH Mobile.
All righty, 7-3. Good to make your acquaintance, and have a good weekend. This is KD9MSD. I will be clear.
KD9NN
KF8DNF.
KF8DNF.
DMH testing. Any DMH.
Monitoring.
Mackinac repeater.
Gotcha. Yeah, that was that's still weird to me. Going down the freeway. Once I get to Vanderbilt and get over on the freeway talking to you guys, it's crystal clear receiving on the Sheboygan, but you guys can't hear me, so I transmit, so I switch back and forth by just pushing this one channel different program, so I just up, down, up, down. That's my whole trip to work and on the way home.
So it keeps you on your toes anyway.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that I think, because it's a real short antenna, and, you know, that one that I had set up originally when I started with DMRS, that was picking up the Pickford repeater and stuff in my truck on the way home. Well, I think maybe that antenna or something similar would probably be a better, work better for my truck, because it's a little taller, too. I don't know all the science behind it exactly, but it did seem to work better. So I think this shorter antenna just isn't quite, I'm not quite satisfied.
Well, and I'm no, by any means, an antenna expert or anything, but I wonder how, because like the antenna I have on my truck is just, it's a Lard Industries, or Laird Industries, however you pronounce it. A simple, just a piece of wire. And it works, you know, very well there. I just wonder, you know, what difference it is between yours having your mount back farther, you know, right on the edge of your cab, where you don't have a full 360 degree ground plane. You know, where mine is, you know, in the interior of the roof line, so I get a 360 ground plane on it. I don't know if that makes a difference or not, but I'm curious.
Yeah, I thought about that, and I guess the only way I'll know is to park it somewhere where maybe I'm not receiving as well, and then have an antenna, you know, I probably changed the antenna in the base that you gave me, and then move that around, because it won't stick, but I can move it around, and it'll set there, and then see how that works. I thought about doing that, because at that point, yeah, if it changes or doesn't, I'm still just drilling a hole in my truck, man. Oh, it's a hard pill to swallow.
Well, bring it over. I won't have a hard time drilling a hole in your truck.
Are you on the Petoskey repeater right now?
Yes, I switched back to the 1.9.
Am I coming through staticky on your end?
Yeah, you have a little crackle, but it's not impeding the conversation any. I can still pick you out just fine. I just went over the whole, how you're supposed to get a signal report, I can't remember, but yeah, you're coming through just fine.
Okay, I just turned the power up, see what that does. You're still, it's baking fine in the background, too.
Your transmission was louder that time, but there was still just a touch of static in the back, but like you say, nothing that hampers the conversation any.
So, any big plans for the weekend?
Nope, just all my normal chores and whatnot, and gonna get to studying pretty hard this weekend and see where that takes me, and then I don't know, I'm thinking about redoing everything out here on the radio rack and maybe getting rid of these racks and bringing the old huts back in. I don't know yet.
Yeah, I really don't have a lot of plans either. I got to run to Harbor Freight and a couple things. I'm online looking right now at their Insiders Club or whatever they call it, $29.99 for the year. But the items I want to purchase, I would actually save money by signing up for that. And there's a few other items I want that are on sale for Insiders or the Inside Track. So it might be something that I do.
I probably should as often as I'm there. It would probably benefit me to sign up for that, but I don't, I've never signed up on any of those sorts of things, so I'd probably be smarter if I did.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I go on about when I want to go, but I'm looking at some of the prices and I'm seeing the money I could save for the items I'm going to buy. Yeah, you know, for $30, I'm going to save way more than $30. So, and this is not spontaneous purchase. This is something that I've had planned for a while. So, I think I might go ahead and do that. They actually have the Predator Power Source. One of those is on sale. I think it's the 1200. Mine's the 600 watts. That's the 1200 running watt one. So it's like the second to last largest they have is on sale.
Yeah, I think those are just as good as, you know, if you look into the Blue Eddy or the Jackery and any of the other, you know, quote-unquote name brands. I think they're just as good as any of those and far cheaper.
Yeah, I'm impressed with mine. I was using it here, last weekend, I think? I plugged my power sources into it and was running everything off that. And yeah, I mean, when you're keying up, it drains it. But also, I didn't have it plugged, the radio directly plugged into it. I had my inverters plugged in. So it was consuming more power just sitting there. But, I think it works great. And like I say, I only have the 600. Yours is the one step down from mine. I mean, but man, like, if you're in the middle of the woods and that's what you've got in a little shack, if you got sunlight to recharge it with a solar panel, I mean, you're all set because you're not keying up for hours on end. So you're really not draining it that fast. But, yeah, I'm impressed.
Yeah, I'm impressed with those, too. I think for the money, you can't go wrong.
I find it kind of crazy that this the deal they have is $30 for a year. And the amount of money that you actually save. I feel like there's a catch somewhere.
Oh, there's probably always a catch with everything. The trouble is they have it hidden so well, you probably never know about it.
So, ignorance is bliss, is that what we're saying?
Yep.
I mean, it looks like it's pretty simple. It's a lot like, I guess Home Depot's not the same, but my number or my card, it automatically gives me points and stuff, but yeah, so just give them your cell number and you do it online, give them your number in store, it automatically applies the savings, so I mean, that's pretty convenient.
Sounds like we have a new Inside Track member.
Well, like I say, I'm saving $50 off of the item that I want to purchase. If I sign up for $30, so technically I'm saving $20, and then all the other things that I wanted to get, I still get all that money off on those. So technically, yeah, I mean, it'd be dumb not to. It's just, at the end of this thing, it's going to equate to hundreds of dollars by the time I get done.
We are amazing creatures, aren't we, that we can talk ourselves into anything we want. I love it.
Well, I was always told that you got to spend money to make money. I mean, I took that to heart.
Dang, I make a whole lot more than what I am then.
Yes, I don't think that applies to the whole radio thing because I haven't made any money with it yet. But I sure do enjoy it, and it's, you know, like I said, I want to kind of jump over into some of the 10-meter stuff. I know it's real limited at the technician level, but it'd be kind of cool anyways just to have it, start playing with it, get familiar.
think it would, be a good way to get familiar with the equipment, familiar with making different types of antennas, which I have to explore yet and figure all that out, and or at least get a little glimpse into it. I'm not going to figure it all out, that's for sure. But, I think it is a good step, and I don't think we should ignore it by any means.
Nope, and honestly, I mean, whatever I have access to, ultimately I'm going to have radios for that. And, get everything dialed in just because it's there. More opportunity, I guess we can say.
Yep, for sure. Hey, I think I've been telling you for, I don't know, a couple months now, and I just always seem to forget. Remember the kid that he worked for a while, was his first name, and then he left there and went to work up at Fillmore's, I think, when you were still there. I can't remember his last name, but, we hired him back here about 4 months ago to be our detail shop manager.
KFAFE. What was his first name?
Adam.
Dark hair, a little taller than me, maybe. Yeah. I don't remember his last name, but I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, dark hair. A little taller than you. You got to narrow it down a little bit for me there.
Wow. Just wow. I mean, I saw it coming, but wow.
He just served it up so easily, I thought you'd be disappointed if I didn't take this guy.
Hey, you want to, I'm going to switch over on the GMRS on the gut, see how that does, because you're breaking up really bad.
Copy that. K8GAT, clear.
KFAFDE.
It's not your fault. It's an issue in the system. They're aware of it. WHRPM.
Okay.